All right, guys, episode 99. Next week, episode 100. We're almost 100. There, boys.
100. How are we doing the AFC North and you're not wearing your Joe Burrow shirt?
I actually thought about that as soon as we started this recording. I'm like, huh, because I have my notes pulled up and I saw the Bengals and I'm like, yep.
Like, how often can you wear that when it actually is meaningful?
Right. Yeah, I wear it to my bartending shifts. That's about it.
And you wore it to Rib Fest.
Rib Fest is a special occasion. Only the best for Joe Burrow. But
Joe,
yeah.
Scheisse.
AFC North on today's podcast. We don't have a question, but we had some pretty decent news to talk about to start the episode.
Yep.
Three big-time running backs are holding out. They all got signed to a franchise tag, and they're not playing on it as of right now. So Tony
Pollard is.
Oh, Pollard is? Okay, so Tony
Pollard signed his franchise tag almost like right away.
Okay, and then Saquon Barkley and Josh Jacobs are the other two big names. So I've been keeping up to date on basically what they've been saying. Saquon did an interview and basically said, I could say fuck the Giants, but that's not me. That's not what I want to do. I'm assuming he's going to play. Now, Josh Jacobs, on the other hand, Jacobs could hold out the whole season. So
yeah, I mean, the Giants are at least trending team-wise in the right direction. I mean, they went from bottom to a playoff team. They kind of brought all the guys back. They brought in Darren Waller. They had a good draft.
Yep.
And the Raiders are kind of going the opposite direction. So, like, for Josh Jacobs, why would he put himself through all that for a team that wins six games?
Right.
For Giants, by all means, we didn't have them ranked high, but they have the opportunity to be better than the Raiders.
They do, yes. But, I mean, for fantasy purposes, give me 1 through 10 how nervous you are that – Barkley's not going to play, and how nervous you are that Jacobs isn't going to play.
Probably a 6.5 for Saquon. I think he needs it more. Like, he was wearing, I thought it was kind of funny. He was wearing a Bumblebee Nike Dry Fit, black and yellow. People are connecting to Le'Veon Bell with the Steelers.
Oh my God.
I mean, one, I'm like, why the hell are you wearing this? But then I thought that'd be pretty funny. I mean, he's still a 6.5. He's not as high as Jacobs just because I think he needs it more because he has had the injury issues. Where Josh Jacobs, he just came off the best season of his career. And he doesn't have any injuries, knock on wood, big injuries. So where he can sit out, and I think he'll still be fine. Saquon, he sits out, I think he'll still be fine because of the name. But he still needs more to prove since he was injured, missed all season, was banged up last year, and then last year he finally was healthy and balled out.
Right.
He just has that history.
Yeah, I mean, end of July right now, I would be shocked still if Saquon didn't play week one. I wouldn't be shocked if Jacobs missed, I mean, however many games, because, you know, like you said before, Saquon, yes, he's older than Jacobs. Jacobs doesn't have anything to prove. He's proved it. Barkley does too, but, I mean, if I have drafts coming up, which we do, and no news has broken, nothing's changed, I think I just have to play it safe and not draft them. And
yeah, they're going around that 1-2 turn. If you're in 12-man leagues, for sure, on that 1-2. If you're in 10-man leagues, they're going around the early second still, not really at the turn, like the 203 and 206, 205. That's hard to bank on for not even having a slight, even a 50% chance of knowing that, yeah, you don't know. It's 50-50. Right. It's you're starting running back.
It is tough. I think I would just have to let someone take a quote unquote steal if he does play and, you know, take Jacobs in the third, fourth, fifth, even fifth round. If he holds out, there's no updated news. I mean, what do you do?
So let's say you have the 101 and you get McCaffrey and we'll just say T. Higgins in the second.
Okay.
You have your solid running back. Would you take the chance if Jacobs or Saquon are there? Like, you have your. You have your running back. Would you take the chance? Because if you compare McCaffrey and Jacobs.
I can't. If there's no updated news, you know, training camp comes and goes. I don't think he's even going to show up to training camp. Preseason comes and goes. There's no negotiations, no progress. I can't. Not that. I just I don't want to be out, already have a disadvantage before week one.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
That's fair. So for dynasty purposes, get those backup running backs. I know Matt Breida is on the Giants and Zamir White. Yeah,
Zamir White.
Get those guys. Again, you don't know. They'll probably be getting the first team reps in training camp until those guys come back. And, a running back that just is a starting running back will be valuable. Look at Damian Pierce. He had all the opportunity. Didn't score, but he was still a top running back until he missed some games. Like, look at those guys on your dynasty waiver wires, and it could end up just being a steal for you.
Yeah, I mean, look at Madison when Cook misses games. I mean, backup running backs are still valuable of fantasy assets when the starter misses.
And D-Hop.
Oh, yeah, I forgot D-Hop. Eh? So how you feeling with Treylon Burks here? Because you are now the proud owner of Mr. Burks.
I mean, I'm still fine with it. Obviously, you are not drafting Treylon Burks and Dynasty Irving redraft to be your wide receiver one.
No.
Like, if you're doing that, you're an idiot, and you better have Mahomes,
you're top right.
running backs, and Kelsey. Like he should not be wide receiver one. You are drafting him for the hope, mainly in redraft, that he could be a steal and be a wide receiver two. I don't think he can be a wide receiver two now, but we've seen Tannehill before last year when they had A.J. Brown, Corey Davis. A.J. Brown was a top 12 wide receiver. Corey Davis was wide receiver 26, I believe.
Yeah.
And I would say Treylon Burks is better than Corey Davis was at that point.
For sure. So right now, Burks' ADP is still at the 708. It hasn't updated yet for when D-Hop signed.
Yeah.
Seventh round is out of the question for me now. He's going around, the Jahan Dotsons, the middle tight ends, middle quarterbacks. But I'm not looking at Burks in the seventh. Eighth round, probably not even eighth round. I think if he falls to the ninth, that's decent value.
I mean, we look at, him and Dotson. They were drafted a couple, I think, four picks apart. Neither of them have a good quarterback, but at least Tannehill has shown it. Are you more on Dotson's side because he at least showed it last year compared to
having
the better quarterback?
He showed it with a true wide receiver one on the team in McLaurin. Okay. I'm pulling up receivers going around the 708 right now. So let's see how far down the board we'd take people over Treylon Burks. So people going behind Burks at his current ADP, Jordan Addison.
I'd have Addison.
Pickens, I'm not high on, but so you can make the argument.
I think I'd still go Pickens. We'll talk about, or I'd go Burks, but we'll talk about Pickens later.
Okay. Dotson.
See, I have both.
We do have both.
I mean, God. I think it's really a coin flip because the Titans, I think, are a better team, better coached. They do have the better quarterback, and we've seen that quarterback hold value to two wide receivers, where Dotson has proven it when he was out there. So, right. For me, it's a coin flip.
Okay. And then, I would take we're into the middle of the eighth round. Kadarius Toney, Brandon Cooks, QJ, Gabe Davis. I would take Burks over all those guys. So
yeah, I do like Cooks. I think I would in redraft. Obviously, I'd take Cooks. Toney is starting to warm up on me, but still, I don't know. Neither have proven anything.
I mean, so maybe I'll eat my words there because I'm just looking at receivers. But there's only a couple of receivers I would rather have that are going below him right now. So we'll see. We'll see what training camp and preseason look like. And obviously, if Will Levis is the quarterback, both those receivers get bumped down.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, a rookie quarterback who didn't even prove it in college. It's not like it's Caleb Williams or Andrew Luck coming out, Trevor Lawrence. It's Will Levis. Like, he didn't prove anything. And then other, not breaking, but there's running backs that are doing workouts with the Patriots. Fournette and Daryl Henderson have been working out with them. For Ramondre owners or Ramondre believers, you would obviously rather have Daryl Henderson. Fournette is a pass-catching guy, so that will definitely hurt. But just keep an eye on that. If you guys are doing your draft soon, just keep an eye on that.
So getting into the AFC East, or AFC North, sorry. It was funny because we go first, second, third, fourth based on last year's finishes. And when I was making my notes, I went, obviously, the Bengals. I'm like, all right, like they have – a couple fantasy relevant people, but as I went down this list, I have more people written down the farther down we go in the standings. I'm like,
All right. I do too. I do too.
I'm like, well, how does that make sense? But
I mean, like Tyler Boyd, he'll probably be more. But like, I hate picking these teams' records because the division is always so hard. They always have good defenses. Bengals probably have the worst defense, and it's still a top 15 defense, but right. They have offense.
Last year, this was the only division to go 3-3 against everybody, and that's exactly what I did this year when I did my prediction. So I have everybody within two games of each other.
I did not. I just think that
based on my standings, what we predicted, this is the best division in football in my mind.
I mean, yeah, you could make the case with them, the AFC East, and that's probably it. Yeah.
So Bengals 12-4 last year. They only played 16 games. Joe Burrow QB4, 4,500 yards, 35 touchdowns, 12 picks. If you're not a rushing quarterback, this is what you have to do to get yourself into the top five. And he hasn't lost anybody. He hasn't gotten worse. There's no reason he can't put up another 4,500 and 35 right. And be a top five quarterback again. But that being said.
I'm about to say where he's being drafted.
Exactly. You can talk on it because where he's being drafted, it's a little too rich for me. I personally will not own any Burrow shares in redraft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's being drafted in that third, fourth round, which for a guy at a singular position, usually in standard leagues, you know, you can only have one quarterback, one tight end play, so single position. For a guy who cannot be the QB1, QB2, even probably QB3.
Right.
He's going to be super safe. Like, you know what you're going to get from him. You know they're going to throw. They threw the ball seventh most attempts last year. That'll probably stay the same, if not even possibly still go up. But Lamar Jackson, who we'll talk about next, is going around a little bit later, who can be the overall QB1. Again, higher risk, higher reward for him.
Right.
Joe Burrow's safe, but when you're picking guys in the third, fourth round, and if they don't have the option to be a top three at that position, especially again, that's a uni position, at the one positions, it's just not worth it in some cases.
Right. His ADP is in the third round, end of the third round right now. That's too high for me for a pocket passing quarterback with little to no rushing upside. So,
right. I mean, if he slipped to the fifth, then I would take him.
But yeah, fifth, that's Herbert range. I mean, him and Herbert are neck and neck in my eyes. I would rather take Herbert two rounds later.
Yeah, two rounds later, yeah, 100%. And they're the same quarterbacks. Herbert's a little bit more mobile just because Burrow has the injury.
Yeah.
But they're always going to go back and forth in ADP every single year. Whoever finishes higher 1 year, they're going to be the third round draft pick. And then the loser will be the fifth round. It'll switch next year. So those guys are interchangeable. Get the cheaper one.
100%. Let's talk about Joe Mixon, because for a while there, it was looking pretty rough. Pretty rough. So, I mean, now that we know he's back on this offense, last year he had that 4-touchdown week. He had that spike week, whatever. Other than that, he was fine. He was an RB12 last year. I mean, just fine RB12. He's an RB1. 814 yards and 7 on the ground. And he had 60 targets, 441 receiving yards and 2 touchdowns. 60 catches. Sorry. I mean, his volume should be there. Don't get me wrong. If you want Mixon as your RB1, that's totally fine. You want to load up on a couple receivers early, that's fine. If you want to take him as your RB2 or 3 and just be stacked at running back, you know what you're going to get in Joe Mixon in this offense. So,
yeah, I mean, we again talk about the huge week that he had, but he still had five others where he was a wide receiver or running back 12 or higher. And he doesn't really have any bust weeks. He had two that were the running back. You can't even count this one, 69. It was the Bills game where they played. He had two carries. They didn't even finish the game. And then week 3 when he was the running back 41, but he still had 12 carries and 7 targets. He just didn't do anything in that game. So, yeah, he's definitely – now that you know he's there. And the biggest thing is they did not upgrade that running back room.
They downgraded. Samaje, they downgraded. Had
24% of the carries, 9% of the targets from running backs. They drafted a guy. When did they draft Chase Brown?
Oh, God.
I think it was later. It was like 6th, 7th round. Even if they did draft him, he might have been an undrafted guy, signee. But irrelevant. And then Travion Williams. We haven't seen him do anything ever. Chris Evans. I think Chris Evans was the guy that they had signed after. No, he's been there.
He's been there for like 2 years, but regardless, this is his backfield.
Yes.
And I mean, even if it's a pass-first offense, in the fourth round, if you go receiver, quarterback, receiver, you want to load up on those onesie, twosie positions, and Mixon is your first running back. I've been mocking, and I've seen him there as my first running back. Yeah. That's a solid team.
Yeah, he had almost 300 total attempts. He played in, quote-unquote, 15. He missed two, but then the Bills game. So he missed three games. He will get over 300 touches, and you can't beat that on a high-power offense.
You
so I'm all in on Mixon right now because his ADP is so low.
Ja'Marr Chase, good at football. That's all I was going to write, but then
there are four guys that can go 101. Jefferson, Kupp, McCaffrey, him. If you take either of them, I'm not questioning it.
Right. All I wrote was top draft pick and redrafts, dynasty, doesn't matter, consistent wide receiver one.
And he has the quarterback for dynasty for a long time.
I know. I've been thinking over this offseason. I've been on the Jefferson side. You've been on the Chase side. If we had a hypothetical 101, I think I'm coming to the dark side. I'm coming to the Chase side.
No, you have Jefferson 101. I'll take Chase to 102. You're good.
In our startup, if I had the 101, I think I might go Chase.
That's annoying. But, yeah, I mean, he missed a few games last year, and he's still a top wide receiver. He has just game-changing weeks. He's just good. He's Burrow's favorite target. Don't think twice about it. Same with Higgins.
I mean, yeah, Higgins in the third round is as safe as they come, too. Wide receiver 17 last year, posted a 1,000-yard season and 7 touchdowns. Back-to-back wide receiver 24, better seasons, playing next to Chase.
Yeah.
We see it every year. An offense has two top 12 receivers. We saw it last year with Waddle and Tyreek Hill. Yep. Chase and Higgins have done it. Don't let Chase scare you away from drafting T. Higgins.
Yeah, I've been seeing like in some mocks and hearing on podcasts that people go Chase Higgins, which it's so hard because they aren't the same, but you know that they're going to be two top 15 wide receivers.
I don't like doing that because they have a bad year, if they play the Texans, they only throw the ball 20 times a game.
Right.
If they have a bad game,
you're
going to have a couple down weeks, but I mean, you'll have more good weeks than bad. So, I mean, that's not my strategy, but I get why people do it.
It's insane. You go 1, 2, 3, 4 in your rounds. Chase, Higgins, Burrow, Mixon. Just go low. I mean, top five offense.
I bet you Tyler Boyd will be there in the fifth for you.
He will be there in the fifth. I won't take him in the fifth, but he will be there.
And that's wraps it up for the Bengals for me. We're not talking about the tight end position. Somehow one of the best offenses in the league just they don't have a relevant wide receiver three or tight end.
And they could have taken, you know, if Michael Mayer's here, we're talking about him. Kincaid wasn't there, obviously, but if they drafted Kincaid, we're talking about him just like we talked about him in the Bills. But it's Irv Smith. You can get him on waivers after the draft.
Yep.
See what they do week one, and if he sees 8 targets, put some money in. If he sees 3 targets, don't even bother.
For sure. Ravens 10-7 last year. Lamar was QB 14. He missed the last 6 games of the season. His floor, I would say, is still 700 rushing yards. That instantly makes him a top 5 quarterback if he's healthy all year.
Mm-hmm.
If he's healthy. If he's there in the fourth round where his ADP is right now, that's tough to not take him.
Yeah.
Like we just talked about Burrow. It's too high because he doesn't have a rush. If a couple games don't go his way and he drops from 4,500 to 4,200 yards, 4,100 yards, and a couple less touchdowns. Mm-hmm. There's just not that upside. Like Lamar has that upside there. So if you're a rushing quarterback, boom, you're on my board.
Yeah, he's definitely, you know, I haven't taken him in the fourth, but when he falls to the fifth, I snatch him up every time. It's high risk because of his mobility. He's missed games the last 2-3 years, but it's high reward. It just depends. Do you want to put that your faith in Lamar Jackson? Because if you do, and if he plays every single week, he'll be a QB3 or better, most likely.
Right. I mean, Herbert, I'm fine taking around there. Fields, I'm kind of out on compared to these other two quarterbacks. But if I do take a quarterback or tight end, I've found myself taking Lamar over a bunch of other people.
Yep.
J.K. Dobbins, I mean, I don't know.
you just have to monitor it. You have to watch. He had off-season kind of minor in surgery, nothing major. But if he does training camp, if he starts in like a week, they'll be starting in a week, but they start in 2 weeks, whatever. and he's fine, I'm taking all J.K. Dobbins I can.
Not in the fourth round. His ADP is in the fourth round.
If he's healthy, yes. Yes, I would.
I would rather wait a round or two and take Miles Sanders, Rashad White type players.
I've been taking both of them.
Okay.
I go fourth, fifth round. I get Dobbins and Sanders.
I mean, his eight games he was healthy and played, well, quote unquote healthy. Eight games right. He played last year. He didn't play over 50% snaps once. He averaged 100 rushing yards the last four games to end the season. I mean, there's optimism there, but he's not a pass-catching back. They like to run Lamar. They just added another receiver. They're trying to get the passing game going. He's a solid RB2, don't get me wrong. But
right.
I don't like him like Mixon in the fourth round.
Well, no, just because it's a different offense. But you talk about a guy that they're going to – all the media and training camp buzz is their high-tempo, up-tempo offense. Yes, they're going to be passing the ball more. It doesn't mean anything for J.K. Dobbins, but it means more scoring opportunities. When he was playing and healthy last year towards the end of the year, Lamar was out. It was a bad team.
Yeah,
he's getting 100 yards. That's 10 points right there. You get one touch because there are games he can get you three touchdowns because it's that high-powered offense. He gets you one. He can stumble in. 16 points, 18 points. That is – you can't be mad about that.
Yeah.
So if Lamar is healthy, this offense is going to be really, really good. And that's why I like running backs on teams that with good offenses, higher opportunities to score. Like, well, is Miles Sanders probably safer? Yes. Would I rather have Miles Sanders? Yes. But the touchdown opportunity is probably higher for J.K. Dobbins.
Because it's a better offense.
Because it's a better offense.
I don't know. Like you said, it's going to have to be a wait and see. I don't know if I'm taking in the fourth round, but if the value is there, then I'm all in.
Yeah, right now I'm not because he's still injured. It's still super early. But once, I mean, I know redrafts are kind of later in August. If he's doing everything, then I'll take him in the fourth, fifth round.
Sure. Talk about a clusterfuck of a situation. OBJ, Rashad Bateman, Zay Flowers. Their ADPs are all in the ninth.
They're all right around each other.
If I had to take the shot on one, I'm picking the guy who goes the latest. I'm not putting out a name there. Whoever goes the latest, how can you possibly know?
I'm picking Zay Flowers. I'm picking the young guy with no injury risks that they spent a first round draft pick on. Yes, they paid OBJ.
I was just about too much to say, money. Yeah. But he is 31 and he's declined every year since 2018. I saw 2018.
He has two ACL surgeries. He didn't play last year. Everything we say about Calvin Ridley hasn't played in a year. It's the same for OBJ, but it's worse because OBJ tore his ACL.
Right. And Rashad Bateman can't stay on the field either. I know he's only played two seasons, but he's had a ton of injuries in those seasons.
He had off-season surgery again. He's behind on what that injury he's supposed to be. So I would take the healthy, young, first-round draft pick, and Zay Flowers.
Oh, my God, it's so tough. I don't hear what I'm not saying. I probably won't draft any of these guys, but
I've been taking Zay. He's going around George Pickens. He's going a little bit after George Pickens.
I'll take Pickens easily over Flowers.
I would take Zay Flowers.
Whoa!
I really would.
All right. So we can't wait to talk about the Steelers here then.
Yeah.
Mark Andrews, third-round ADP. He's a difference maker at the position. Top five tight end, four straight years. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you like taking top tight ends with your first couple picks, there's no reason not to take Andrews there.
Yeah, you know, we talked about Joe Burrow. You're not taking the highly drafted ADP guy if they can't be a top three, top two in their position. Andrews can be. So you can take him, and you don't hopefully have to really worry about it. And I did misspoke. Zay Flowers going two rounds later than George Pickens.
I was going to say, that seemed pretty fucking high.
It was the other two rookie receivers. It was JSN and Jordan Addison that are going right around Pickens, who I'd rather have. But we're not talking about Steelers yet. Well, I guess we are now.
Yeah, you can start it off with Kenny Pickett. Now there's much to talk about while I find where Zay Flowers is going around those receivers.
Yeah, I mean, so Kenny Pickett, I'm not drafting him.
Steelers 9-8 last year, by the way. Mike Tomlin still never had a losing.
I know. And that's why I did not pick them to go under 500 again, because it's just not going to happen. But Kenny Pickett, he was obviously atrocious last year. He has weapons. He has a good running back, two good running backs. He has a good, reliable tight end, two wide receivers. and they brought in Allen Robinson, but whatever. I'm not drafting him.
No.
I might pick him up on waivers for bye week, but even then, probably not. But he will be better than last year.
Last year didn't score over 20 fantasy points in any start. He has to be better than last year.
So he's gonna throw more touchdowns, or else he's a bust and he won't be there next year. But I'm only saying this because when he'll be better, so these other options I like a lot because they were so bad last year, the offense, and they're still fantasy relevant.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not taking Pickett in any of my drafts or anything, but the Steelers, Mike Tomlin runs the team well. The Steelers have a decent team. Mm-hmm. Even if Pickett plays bad, I mean, I don't think they replace him anytime soon. But just because the Steelers will always be in that wild card contention, I mean.
If he throws less than 10 touchdowns again, they.
Oh, God.
I mean, that's what he threw this year was 9.
That's insane.
They had the lowest passing touchdowns in the league. If they do that again, they might be. I mean, their record will not be good enough to give them the top 2 quarterbacks, but they could be looking at maybe they trade for Trey Lance. You know, maybe they do something. But there's you cannot stick with the first round pick with these weapons, with that head coach, back to back years, 9 touchdowns or less.
Right. So I found where Zay Flowers is going. He's going with the 9-11. Juju's going right before him. I would rather have Juju than Zay Flowers.
Ugh, I don't know. I think Juju's safer, but upside, I think, would be Zay Flowers.
Cortland Sutton. People are totally out on Sutton this
year. They are out on Sutton. I'm not out.
I think I would rather have Sutton.
Oh, God. I don't know. I'm going at, you know, which quarterback is better, Lamar. And if you can both consider them wide receiver twos, who's a better quarterback? Who's a better team? Baltimore, give me Zay Flowers in that situation.
Rashad Bateman's going literally 2 spots after Zay Flowers. And then we're down into Elijah Moore. I think I'm going Elijah Moore over Zay Flowers.
I think I would go Elijah Moore. And we'll talk about him in a couple minutes. But I do like Moore. So I think I would take the chance on Moore just for being, even though he's for sure the wide receiver 2 on that team. But in the quarterback, I'm kind of contradicting myself, can be really, really good.
Sure. And then you get down into people like Lazard, OBJ, Jacoby Myers, Adam Thielen.
Yeah, for sure. I don't have Zay Flowers.
Well, I guess based on if I had to take one, OBJ's going the latest.
There you go. But all right, so back up to the Steelers. Najee Harris, I'm in on him. He was the RB14 last year, and he had 40 less targets from his rookie year to this year. That happens because rookie quarterbacks don't dump the ball off. That's why he was a top 5 RB his rookie year. He had 90 targets. If Pickett just gets better,
sure,
which he should see 70 targets and he'll get over 330 opportunities. He had that this year.
Yeah, and that's the theme with how I wrote down and, you know, how I based everything off is if Pickett gets better, which he should.
Gets better, yeah.
And then, you know, Najee, I find myself targeting him in the third round in a lot of my drafts just because based on his opportunities, involvement in the offense, he could be a top 12 back.
Yeah, in the recent, 10-man mock that I did, he went at the 403. Like,
oh, my God.
He was my pick. He was my pick. I went Tyreek, CeeDee, Olave, Najee.
I'd be jumping on my fucking seat if I got Najee in the fourth round.
I mean, he's a guy that will get 300 opportunities minimum.
Right.
Minimum. The only concern is Warren. I do think Warren is a good running back.
He's sneaky.
But Mike Tomlin has never used 2 running backs. He likes to use the 1.
Right.
So I'm going to use all of his coaching history and put all my chips on Najee and not worry about Warren.
That's fair. Well, I feel like people draft Warren as like a last, you know, kind of stash pick at the end of the draft. So
I mean, a handcuff pot. Like, if I had Najee, I would do – he's not even going drafts. I've never seen him drafted in any mocks. So you can get him off of waivers, but yeah, sure. Warren, I'm not drafting Warren.
So Deontay Johnson, he's still the wide receiver 1 on this team.
Yep.
His ADP is in the 7th round, wide receiver 39 last year because he scored 0 touchdowns, 86 catches for 882 yards. I calculated it out. If he just gets 5 touchdowns, 30 more fantasy points, he goes from the wide receiver 39 to the wide receiver 21. top 24 wide receiver. Again, the theme is if Pickett gets better, which we think he should, Deontay Johnson's a top 24 wide receiver going in the seventh round. He's seen 140 targets every year since 2020. He's still a great wide receiver.
Yeah, no, Deontay, love Deontay. I had him when he broke out 2 years ago, and he was a wide receiver 8 or 9.
Yeah.
When you see your guy gets 10 targets a game roughly, you can just sit back and relax. You know, because if he catches 6 of them, that's 6 points. And I always just do 6 for 60, 7 for 70, just easy. 12 points, he didn't even score a touchdown. I'm fine with that. He's super safe. He went – I honestly didn't take him in this latest mock because I had Najee. He went to 709, which give me that all day.
And I was just about – I wrote down, at his value in the seventh round, give me that every single time I wrote.
Oh, yeah. Boom,
give me it. Pickens, though, he's going in the same fucking round as Deontay Johnson. Last year, he did finish – 3 spots better as wide receiver 36, 4 touchdowns, 800 yards, but he's very boom or bust. 7 finishes inside the top 24, but the other games were just horrendous. Give me Deontay Johnson, who's going to be consistent over Pickens in the same round on the same team every time. And if you believe they'll finish around the same spot, which this ADP does, he has to bump up his 84 targets to way closer.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why I'm personally out on Pickens, but let's hear your side.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind Pickens. Like, in this latest mock, he went in the ninth round. Ninth round, if I don't have Deontay, then, yeah, I will take a chance on George Pickens. But why I'm kind of out is Najee's going to see 70 targets most likely. Deontay's going to see, we'll just say 130. We'll say he sees less. Pat Freiermuth will see 80. That's already a lot of targets for a team that was middle of the road of passing attempts. So it's not that he's the wide receiver too, because he is. It's because there's two other guys who see a lot of targets.
I mean,
so that's why I'm not fully in on Pickens. But if he's there in the ninth round and I don't have Pat, Deontay, or Najee, I will take Pickens.
Don't get me wrong. He's a freak of an athlete. He's a great receiver.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted to make the case that he emerges as a wide receiver 1 by the end of this year on the team, I could see it. But as of right now, I don't want a boom or bust guy when in the same round I can take a more consistent Deontay Johnson. Right. Now in Dynasty, I would rather have Pickens.
Right. I mean, yeah, he's 5-ish years younger, if not 6 years younger. He's aligned with the quarterback. Again, if they both keep getting better, they were both drafted in the same class, where Deontay, I think, has 2 more years left on his contract. But yeah, I mean, like I said, I like the Steelers options, including Pat Freiermuth. He's an easy top 10 guy without having to pay up for a top who could be a top 5 guy.
If Pickett improves, which we think he will,
if he can throw, imagine if he throws 20 touchdowns, that is still so bad.
It is.
That's 11 more than last year. Deontay Johnson, he had 5 of them. Boom. Wide receiver 20. Najee can get 1. He already had 3. Pat can get 2. Pickens can get 2 more. Like, there's a recipe for these guys to all be actually pretty fantasy relevant, but probably still not win the division.
I know. At the end of Pat's description here, I wrote, nothing but value for the Steelers offense. Give me Freiermuth in the 8th. Give me Johnson in the 7th. Najee in the 3rd, middle to the end of the 3rd. I mean, if Pickett can support these guys, nothing but value on the Steelers.
Yeah, he went, again, this is a 10-man league, so a little bit different than 12. He went at the 10:07, Pat Freiermuth.
Oh, my God.
Easy. It's easy.
Sure. The Browns, 7-10 last year. They
surprised a lot of people.
They did surprise a lot of people, especially with Jacoby Brissett playing the first 10, 11 games.
I think I had them at 5 wins. So, I mean, 2 wins better, but.
It's right, still. Deshaun Watson, he's going in the 8th round. Again, I find myself taking him there because I believe that he could get close, not back to where he was as a top 5 quarterback 3 years in a row, but I think he can get close. First 4 games, he is after suspension. We all know what happened. They were fucking rough. So I didn't write down any stats last year, but he ended the year as a quarterback 8 and quarterback 6 finishes week 17, week 18. If he can make the jump closer to what he was on the Texans, 8th round, you got yourself your quarterback.
Yeah, all I really wrote was he's one of my favorite late-round quarterbacks. I mean, even though Dak is always good, I'm not excited about Dak.
No.
I like Kirk Cousins the same thing, but you know Kirk Cousins will throw the ball a shit ton.
Sure.
Tua, Rodgers are right around there. But I just like Watson a little bit more. In his last, when he started the last six games, his pass attempts, 42, 28, 31, 31, 18, whatever, and 29. So they're throwing the ball a lot, and he averaged six carries a game. That's the thing.
Yep.
If he can average six carries a game, he can only throw it 27 times, but because he's still technically getting those 33 opportunities, and he is mobile enough to bust one for 40 yards, 30 yards for a touchdown.
He is. In the eighth round, I've been targeting him in a lot of drafts. Like you said, I don't like the Dak. I don't like the Cousins around there. I don't like the Rodgers around there as much as I like Watson. So,
yeah, and he's going before all those guys. I mean, don't get me wrong. I would still like those guys because I know Kirk Cousins and Dak are going to throw the ball a lot, throw touchdowns, but they don't have the mobility as, like we've always mentioned, if you can run as a quarterback, you get a little higher up in the possibility.
Yeah. There's a lot of hype around Nick Chubb this year.
I'm loving it. Give me a Big Mac because I'm loving it.
Everything points to him getting more involved in the passing game. I mean, that's what he's not known for. Yeah. Chubb has always been one of the best running backs in the league, but he's always overlooked every year in fantasy because most people play PPR, doesn't catch passes. Yeah. So he's going – his ADP is at the 203 right now. If he went at the back of the first, I would not be shocked at all.
He went 202. He went one before me.
So last year through the first half of the year, he is the RB1. Yeah. His backfield's totally his. Kareem Hunt, he's still a free agent. He's not coming back. Honestly, he's as safe as they come. RB1 seasons each of the last 4 years. Last year, I thought that was interesting. He posted his most attempts at 302 attempts, mm-hmm. most yards at 1,525, and most touchdowns, 12 yeah. of his career. So, I mean, even though he's aging, he's still at the prime of his career.
Yeah, I mean, you talked about Kareem Hunt. That's 23% of the carries that are gone and 9% of the targets from running backs. He's obviously not going to get all of that, but if he even gets 10% of the 23 that's gone, that's a lot more carries. If he gets 5% of those targets that are missing, he could be a guy that gets 400 total opportunities this year, which you just don't come around a lot. If he gets to me in the second round, no matter if I'm a 201 or the 210, I am taking him in the second round.
100%. I took Nick Chubb in the first round last year. I did. I was at the 108 and I took Nick Chubb.
I'm not in the league I was in with you.
No.
No.
Amari Cooper, first season in Cleveland last year. We didn't know what to expect. Backup quarterback and Brissett throwing in the ball. All he did was post a wide receiver 9 finish. He played better with Brissett than he did Amari Cooper. Deshaun Watson, sorry. 1160 and 9 last year. If Watson can just not be awful, there's no reason he can't post up wide receiver 12 or better numbers.
Yeah, and he's going in I'm talking about my latest mock. It's always going to be different, but latest mock, he went in the 5th round. A guy that was just a wide receiver 1 and most likely improved at the quarterback position. Give me that.
All day.
Like the AFC North, it's I want so many of their players.
I know.
Because they're all just great. Obviously, Jamar Chase isn't a good value because it's the 101, 104, whatever. But almost everyone else is a great value. Amari Cooper is the exact same. He's just a great wide receiver. Like, he's just good.
He is good at football.
So confirmed. So, again, he did what he did last year with a backup quarterback. You give him Deshaun Watson. He should be around there as well.
Elijah Moore, though, not as safe. ADP is in the 10th round. Last year, there were memes going around about all year how the Jets just flat out didn't use him after what looked like after his rookie year. He showed flashes. He could be a top candidate for a year two breakout. Didn't happen. Change of scenery. Deshaun Watson is an upgraded quarterback no matter who was at quarterback in New York. He's a guy I can see. I could see taking him in the 10th round. I could see him on his waivers as early as week 2 or 3, or I can see him being one of the steals of the draft. I mean, there's a wide range of outcomes for Moore here.
Yeah, no, I do like Elijah Moore. And again, I just think it's a good value late round. He should be the wide receiver 2. I'm sorry, Donald Peoples-Jones. You were my guy last year.
I didn't even write him down. Get that guy.
No, I didn't write him down. But like last year, Donovan Peoples-Jones was fantasy relevant. Was he not?
You were on the DPJ train all year.
And he was good. He was the top probably 36 wide receiver, which he wasn't even drafted last year probably. And they drafted a rookie wide receiver. But I think Elijah Moore is wide receiver 2 on this team. with a quarterback who is going to throw the ball a lot, at least that's what it showed in his last six games. So why not take a chance on him in the 10th, 11th round?
Sure. I mean, at that point, he's basically free. So
yeah, you're throwing darts, hoping one lands in those last three rounds.
David Njoku, the tight end, he's going in the 8th round, just like Pat Freiermuth. Give me Pat any day over Njoku.
Even though the Browns' offense and quarterback are probably better, I think Pat is a far better tight end.
Sure, for sure. Tight end 13 last year, 58 for 628 and 4 touchdowns. Don't get me wrong. Can he have top 10 upside? Sure. But there's better. I like the options better, you know, going around the same as him in Pat. Or I'll just, if I'm totally punting this position, I'll take someone like Dulcich or Chig at the very end of the draft.
Maybe not Chig anymore just because of D-Hop, but I definitely get what you're saying. Yeah, I think he's a fine option. He does have upside, and he doesn't really cost you that much.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, if you believe in Watson, try and get one of these guys. They're going to throw the ball. I think they're going to be a good offense, but my record doesn't really show it, I guess. But
I'm curious to see where you put the Browns.
I mean, all right, well, let's start it. First place. I know I had Bengals last year. You had Ravens.
I have Bengals this year at 11-6, though. Nobody's going to blow anyone. Okay. I don't think anybody's going to blow anyone out of the water. It's a tough division, and they have tough schedules. So
yeah.
11-6 is reasonable, like third or fourth team in the playoffs. Ravens, I've tied for second place at 10-7.
I went 11-6 for Baltimore.
Okay. I have Browns at 10-7 as well.
I have Browns and Steelers at 9-8.
And I have the Steelers at 9-8. This division is going to be intense.
I mean, it was last year. Like, the Steelers, they did what they needed to get in the playoffs. They just needed, what, the Patriots to beat the Bills, and they would have been in.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Patriots obviously did not. Like, the Steelers were essentially a playoff team. They just needed another team to win. They didn't have it. Like, they did what they needed to do
sure.
to get in the playoffs. And it just didn't happen for them. But I just – it's such a hard division that I could see one team just getting, like – I could see the Browns just being so overhyped, and they go 2-4 in the division, 1-5 in the division, because it's such a tough division.
Sure.
But yeah, I just think give me the best quarterback and the best receivers in this division to win it.
Yeah. I mean, going back to my hot takes, this is 4 of 7 playoff teams right here that have winning records. A winning record team is going to be left out of these playoffs here.
Yeah. Cause Chargers.
AFC is just too good.
Oh yeah. Keep them over there. Give the Packers, your Bears, some hope. Keep them over there.
All right. Next week, it's the last division of the 8th. Save the best for last, NFC North.
Might be the worst, second worst.
Save the best for last. But yeah, as always, follow us on TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube at the Kneel Down. All one handle, pretty easy to remember. And we will catch you guys next week.
See you next week, episode 100.
Boom.